Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Update. Bryce Harper saga continues. Lots of chatter. No action yet. The San Francisco Giants were talking short-term, but now a long-term deal may be on the table for the slugger. Harper has discussed a 10-year deal with the San Francisco Giants brass. Giants CEO Larry Bear met with Harper in Las Vegas last night. Harper would be a major upgrade from the Giants' current options at outfield that are brutal right now, but he's reportedly seeking a contract bigger than Giancarlo Stanton's of $325 million, hence no deal yet. The Dodgers, Phillies still in the mix as well. Robot umps may come to baseball one day, but not before an independent league tests them out. The Atlantic League is going to test them out in all eight ballparks to see if the robo umpires will be viable. If it works, maybe for future in the MLB. Big news just breaking from the Canadian Football League. The Montreal Alouettes releasing quarterback Johnny Manziel after it was found he violated the conduct agreement, which made him eligible to play in this Canadian Football League. The league has informed all other teams that will not register a contract for Manziel should any team attempt to sign him, ending the quarterback's time north of the border. See ya, Johnny. We hardly knew ya. When Manziel was with Montreal, he also spoke about maybe playing in the AAF. It could be his next stop, or he could be done. In eight games this year, 106 of 165 passing, throwed for five touchdowns, but he also threw seven picks. So Johnny Manziel, done in the Canadian Football League. In the National Football League, according to Steelers GMs, hey, they're not ruling out a trade with Antonio Brown to a team in the AFC North. GM says, hey, the original list of T3 teams that expressed interest for the veteran third-year-old has grown significantly. The Steelers are running out of time as Brown's $2.5 million roster bonus is due on March 17th. The Philadelphia Eagles say they will not apply the franchise tag to quarterback Nick Foles. That makes him a free agent on March 13th. There was reported mutual interest between Foles and the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier. He filled in for Carson Wentz last year, throwing for seven touchdowns and four interceptions. The Oakland Raiders have a lot of decisions before Derek Carr, but hey, their brass say he's the franchise quarterback right now. Oakland GM Mike Mayock with very high praise for Carr when he talked at the scouting combine, and they said it's going to be hard for them to improve upon him. The issue, Carr is guaranteed $19.9 million in salary. Despite the Raiders' horrible year, he set career highs in passing with 4,049 yards. He owned a 68.9 completion percentage as well. Oakland currently holds three first-round picks in April's draft, number 4, number 24, and number 27. Giants news, they expect quarterback Eli Manning to be back for 2019. A lot of fans pissed there. And Giants GM Dave Gettleman reiterated today the team will not trade without Odell Beckham Jr. He's not going to go anywhere. He's staying a Giant. But Giants brass at the NFL Combine haven't turned down the idea of potentially drafting Kyler Murray from the University of Oklahoma. The Cincinnati Bengals say rumors about John Ross shopping him around, fake news. Ross, the 40-year-old dash holder, ninth overall pick 2 years ago, didn't catch a pass in his rookie season. And as we mentioned, just 210 receiving yards last year. But out of those 21 catches, seven touchdowns. Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim says Josh Rosen is their starting quarterback, quote-unquote, for now. Ravens free agent linebacker. Hey, he's coming back. Suggs coming back for a 17th NFL season. You got to hand it to this guy. He keeps on ticking. Former Bengal Pac-Man Jones in more trouble, arrested at a casino in Indiana last night. And reports indicate ESPN and Fox are trying to lure Carolina veteran tight end Greg Olsen into the broadcast booth. Hockey news. Zdeno Chara will not be facing discipline for a high hit on San Jose's Evander Kane last night. He caught Kane up high before both players decided to drop the gloves and scrap. Kane called the hit a classic headshot, and he proceeded to tweet out a picture of three blind mice in reference to the referees in Boston. Unlike Don Cherry and Brian Burke, NHL commissioner, the commissioner says no problem with the Carolina Hurricanes post-win storm surge celebration. He said it's great for the game, they're having fun, and he likes it. Every market is different. Busy night in the NBA, 11 games on tap tonight. Houston at Charlotte, Rockets 4.5, 228. Minnesota minus 4 at Atlanta, total 236. Boston at Portland at Boston, the Celtics laying 3, 226.5. Washington at Brooklyn, Nets at 5.5, 238. Golden State at Miami. The Warriors laying 9 on the road. 223 is your total. Chicago and Memphis. Grizz, 3-point favorites, 217. Detroit and San Antonio. Spurs struggling, minus 4, 221. Indiana at Dallas. Pacers, a small 1-point favorite on the road, 215. LA Clippers, they take on Utah. Jazz, 9.5, 227.5. Milwaukee at Sacramento. The Bucks laying 6.5, 235 is your total. And New Orleans and the Lakers. Lakers, 5.5-point favorites, 239. Five games in the NHL tonight. We'll go over the whole board at college basketball, too. I'm Cam Stewart with Gabe Morenci. Stick around, everybody. It's Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. I'm Gabe Morenci. Throwing it down with Cam Stewart. We got a busy show today, as we always do on Wednesdays. Mark Lawrence will step up and in pretty soon. Actually, in a couple of minutes, Mark Lawrence will join us. We've got Lou Gamblu, .com. So Lou will step up and in and join us. Got a big UFC card this weekend from Las Vegas. We spoke with World Series champion manager Jim Leland this morning. On the morning after, we'll replay the interview in case you missed it. Some strong stuff from Jim Leland. But as you would expect, Cam, Jim Leland's a pretty serious guy.
Yeah, he's old school. He's old school. He's not going to give you any secrets or, he'll give you answers, but I don't think he's going to give you, anything, no exclusives or nothing. He seems like an old school type of guy, but a no-nonsense and no-BS type of guy.
Well, I will say, he was engaging. Like, it wasn't like he was giving one, he was talkative, but, the guy's seen it all. He's been around, forever, but... it's an interesting interview. We talk about American League versus National League and what's more difficult to manage. And we get listen, he was a manager of the year twice in the National League, and he was a manager of the year once in the American League. So
yep.
If you can ask anybody, hey, what's the difference between managing in both leagues, he would know. And he gave a very detailed and interesting answer, actually. So, yeah, Jim Leland will join us. Baseball. About a month away still, actually, a little more than a month away from the start of the regular season. But baseball's been in the news, and it's funny. We can talk all we want about how, baseball's got problems and baseball this, and no one talks about baseball. But the fact is, Harper's kept baseball in the news almost like on a daily basis.
Exactly. It's almost like, don't sign Bryce. We need you. Like other than
they're actually getting publicity,
It's a great point, man. And there, Arenado with the big contract, he got emotional when talking about that. Like, there's been nothing.
The season's still 5 weeks away, and people are actually, every day, it's Bryce Harper this, Yasiel Puig that, Arenado gets money, what about Kimbrough, what about Keuchel? There's almost a method to their madness, actually. You know what it reminds me of? It's like in the old days, before the BCS in college football. Like, remember, they used to vote. And, it was chaos sometimes. Remember, teams, they'd be split national champions, the coaches poll, the AP poll. And there used to be tie games in college football as well.
Yep.
And people used to get so angry, right? And be like, how the hell, do you play an entire season? Like, imagine playing an entire NFL year and just voting on the best team. Kansas City would be the champions.
It'd be great. We wouldn't lose that.
Yeah, exactly.
Patriots, I want my money back.
Yeah, like KC would have been the number one ranked team.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Chiefs.
We're the champions. But instead it'd be we're voting on it. And the Chiefs and Chiefs and Saints are the co-champions. But college football, people talked about it.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
kicking it old school. Perfect circle. Game time decisions. Red Heat and the Rage. Our radio. Fantasy Sports. Our radio network. I'm Gendon Moretzi. Throwing it down with Cam Stewart. And as we were just talking about quickly going into the break. So, yeah, Major League Baseball is in the news all the time, but it appears to be negative, but it really isn't. And, you know, the whole thing, even about the owners, yes, there's sort of a new structure going on, and there's a changing of the guard going on with how they handle business in baseball, but it's not like they're hoarding money from Bryce Harper.
No,
Harper's
no.
been offered the biggest contract in baseball history, you know, but he keeps refusing it because he doesn't like the teams that are offering it to him. So, but as I was stating quickly, and Mark Lawrence can relate to this, he'll know. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Always a pleasure. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing just fantastic, guys. How you doing?
Always a
Pretty
pleasure,
good, Mark.
I always look forward to talking to you. So you're just talking about baseball. Like, people are sort of negative, like, oh, baseball has this problem and that problem. But the fact is they're in the news every day just because of Bryce Harper. And before because of Manny Machado. And I brought up college football. And you remember in the old days, Mark, you know, before the BCS, you'd have split co-national champions. And even previous to that, you know, one of the greatest college football games of all time ended in a tie, and teams used to go for two, and then, you know, the famous Miami-Nebraska stuff. But college football, like the guys that ran it, the brass, so to speak, used to be asked, like, how do you let people vote? And, like, you know, you got tie games and, you know, and
co-national champions, Gabe.
Co-national champions.
Yeah, Washington. And, yeah, it was crazy.
And the guy responded, we got you talking about it, don't we? Yeah, and that was the whole thing, Mark. People talked about it, and we get so mad. Notre Dame should be the champion. They should get ranked ahead of this team. And it got people talking. Even the BCS, which was never really wrong. The computer actually nailed that stuff. Got people angry. It got this stupid computer. It got people talking. If you notice now, it's a playoff. People don't really bitch or talk too much, and the ratings aren't even great for this playoff. It's kind of funny. Like, it's almost like people say, oh, they hate controversy, Mark, but people like controversy. That's why controversy is actually almost good for business.
Well, it's good for sports business. It's good for the bar business. It's good for anybody that follows sports because we all have an opinion on the sport, and whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you know, you really like to discuss it and talk about it, and you know, like the guy said, you're talking about it, aren't you? And that's exactly the business that we're in.
Yeah, and eventually they'll start playing baseball, and people will start watching baseball. So the AAF has had some issues off the field. We're 3 weeks in. But, you know, the books are taking bets on it, Mark, and I know you're doing very well jumping into this. We should note, guys, basically the home teams have been dominant in this league. Doesn't mean they cover. Double digits, I think Birmingham's been the only double-digit favorite to cover this year, essentially. Like, you know, the couple of times the teams have laid a boatload of points, it's hard to cover the big numbers, guys, when you're forced to go for two all the time. Like, you don't get it, and suddenly it's not like 7-7-7, guys. Like, you got six, and then let's say you miss again. You've only got 12 points. You know, you're laying 15.5. Like, I laid the points with Orlando last week, stupidly, and they just couldn't pull away. You know, they'd miss the two. And then, you know, the other team would get a field goal. And Memphis get a field goal. And we missed the two. You know, the math wasn't adding up. I've noticed that. It's tricky laying points in this league. But another thing, guys, is the unders. 9-3, Mark, to the under so far through 3 weeks.
Yeah, not so surprising, the unders being what they are to start the football season here. And what we're not seeing is a lot of yardage in these football games. So they go sort of hand in hand, if you will. They correlate. And when they do score points, as you mentioned, there are no extra points. They're trying for two. They're missing. So they're 6 points instead of seven. And we're seeing more missed conversions, obviously, than we do the makes of two-point conversions. So everything is all adding toward these low-scoring football games that we're seeing. So, you know, whether it's a better defense that we're seeing from these teams right now, maybe because the offenses still aren't quite there. The bottom line here, though, is that it appears to be a two-team race between Orlando and Birmingham, the two undefeated teams. But my goodness, when you put them under the microscope here, this Birmingham team could be the biggest fraud in the AAF so far.
Yeah, they're lucky to be 3-0. You're right. They keep on dodging bullets and playing against bad teams as well.
And Gabe, bring a great point, guys. When I look at the league, remember the Arizona Hotshots? They looked fantastic the first week, and then the books overreacted, Mark. You know from years in your database, Gabe, you've gambling, all of us have done it for a long time. The NFL doesn't have overinflations like that, and because it's smaller, lines are really being pumped up. Like, the Hotshots went up to 14.5 that game. It didn't cover. You guys noticed the discrepancy and the craziness of the line movement in this league, too, and sometimes you find offers line value, right, Mark? Like, there's a lot of overreactions so far in the new league.
Yeah, the new league is really the epitome of the classic mistake that people make when watching a game and betting them the next game. They remember what they saw last. And because they saw what they saw last, what looked impressive, you know, they're going to end up unloading on that team. Or they're going to end up betting against the opponent that they beat or they drilled. And that's the big mistake people make. The bottom line is when you drill down into these numbers here, and you'll see the number of these bad teams aren't nearly as bad as the record indicates, nor are the stats for the good football winning teams that good either. We're talking about Birmingham, a football team that's 3-0, but they're being out-yarded more yards than they're gaining in their football games on the season here this year. Birmingham's three wins have come against teams that are 1-8 combined in this league here this year, and they're going to be going out and laying points this week to San Antonio, who starts out at 1-2. But their opponents are 7-2 in the season here. So, you know, it's all about putting things on scales here and weighing them out. And maybe just don't even look at the point spread. Just look at what these teams are. Put tape over the names of these teams and then make your own line from what it is you see in these numbers here. And I think that'll end up being a much, much better guide for handicapping these games.
I think the Atlanta Legends should be sued for calling their team Legends. They're the worst football team in North America. Like, God, are they
Legends.
Yeah. No, they're terrible. Like, they really are bad. No, like, they're bad. I watch them. Like, their coaches keep quitting every day. Like, it's complete. Like, they're a train wreck, this team. Arizona is going to be a big double-digit favorite in this game, though. We'll see if Zona gets back on track. It's interesting. You're right. Birmingham's due for a loss. They're not a good team. They just, you know, they have a decent defense, actually. One thing I've noticed about this league, too, that's another thing that helps the unders is the wide receivers aren't great in this league. There's a few guys, like the Charles Johnson guy's lighting it up, but for the most part, there's a lot of drop passes. You know, and, you know, that's why these guys are in the Alliance League instead of the CFL and / the NFL even. But drop passes, like, you know, even in the CFL, Mark, and you know this, Cam, like, these guys make wicked catches.
They do.
Like, there's balls, they don't catches. Hit the ground. Like, they, you know,
for
the thing
sure.
of CFL guys is, they run a 4-5 instead of a 4-4. You know what I mean? Or they smoke too much weed at Tennessee. You know, it's like, it's just like the CFL wide receivers are really good. You know what I mean? And you see in the AAF, it's like, dude, you got to catch that, bro. Like, it's an 8-yard out. Like, come on, man. Like, and even the announcers say, too many drops in this league. And they're supposed to be really, really positive about it. But, Mark, so the database is building up right now, and you've got an AF newsletter. You've been keeping track of this and crushing it this year.
Yeah, we have. You know, we've taken we do write-ups on each of the games every week, and we've won on 6 of the 8 sides we've had, and we do a feature game every week, and that's cashed both times in our first two issues as well. And I'm going to go back to what you alluded to about the wide receivers here, Gabe. And I was watching the last week, the Atlanta football game, and it was just pathetic watching their wide receivers try and catch a pass. It was just unbelievable. you know, they pounded Birmingham in the yards, Atlanta did last week. They were down inside the 10-yard line 3 or 4 times. They got away with only 3 points because the wide receivers couldn't hang on to the footballs. Now, Matt Sims, he throws laser darts. Like, he has no touch on the ball at all. I can understand a little combination of the two. You know, wide receivers, they're going to get their hands sawed off trying to catch one of his passes. But the bottom line here is the coach needs to make an adjustment here, and I think we're going to have seeing Aaron Murray at quarterback for Atlanta sometime real soon here.
It's a good call. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk some college basketball, a little NBA as well. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage, a radio fantasy sports radio network continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Decisions, Ready to Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're unaware, Johnny Manziel. Well, some of you probably don't even know Johnny Manziel was on the Montreal Alouettes.
That's right. You're like, what? He was in the Canadian League? No dude about it.
Who, Johnny?
So, yeah, there's news today, Mark, just from a couple hours ago. My Montreal Alouettes, too. That's my team. Johnny Manziel. Has been released from the Montreal Alouettes, Mark, but it can't be good because it wasn't just the football thing. He's banned from the CFL. So thing is, like, remember he was suspended from the NFL, right? And, yeah, you know, he's never reinstated because he was out of the league, right? But he was done. So the CFL used to sign, like, it didn't matter. Like, Ricky Williams, hey, sign the Toronto Argonauts. Andre Rison, hey, no problem. You know what I mean? Like, the CFL used to not care. About, like, the NFL being upset, or they would sign a player that was suspended from the NFL, or, you know, a little controversial. But they got all, like, they got all ethical in the CFL. And for some reason, you know, they if you're suspended there, we're not going to sign. So Manziel basically had to jump through hoops and, you know, promise not to do this and not to do that. And I guess he violated whatever the terms of the condition were, because not only have the Alouettes released him, but the CFL told all the teams that, yeah, you can't sign this guy. Like, we won't honor the contract. He's not allowed to play in the CFL anymore.
And he talked about the AFL, Gabe. And the thing is, remember the XFL? What was their big thing? Clean bill. They want guys, like, you can't have, like, minor stuff. So they don't even want him to begin with. So it's going to be
no criminal records.
Like, yeah, you can't have, like, any type of problem.
He's not good enough to play.
I agree with that. And I agree with that too. So he's probably done.
Like, they're going to be paying quarterbacks $250,000 a year to play in the XFL. The caliber of quarterback you'll get for $250 a year will be better than Johnny Manziel. The guy couldn't win a job in a CFL, guys.
I know. He's got no arm. Like, he can't swing it across the field.
Yeah, and he's not fast. Like, you know, he was a decent college quarterback playing in a system. He had a nice little run. He's not a professional quarterback. And it, you know, forget about his personal stuff. And, you know, he's a good kid, actually. And I think it's probably just something stupid where he smoked weed or drank. I don't know the details. But anyways, he was on the bench in the CFL, guys. Like, he couldn't, when he played, it was a train wreck. Like, the Alouettes were better with, like, other third-stringer guys. Yeah. Like, that Pipkin kid was good,
Pipkin,
actually.
Yep.
Yeah, what school did he play with, Pipkin?
We looked at the mascot. It was like the UAB Blaze. It was like some,
South Carolina State or something like that. He's actually not
even
bad.
Even smaller than that.
Anyway, so we're with Mark Lawrence. Check out Mark Lawrence's playbook.com. Get on the mailing list for the Alliance League. As Mark stated, 6-2 last 2 weeks. So let's take a look at tonight's college basketball board with March Madness. Around the corner right now, one team that doesn't look like they're going to be in a tournament this year again is going to be the Texas Longhorns, Mark, and Shaka Smart. They expected, it's almost like Harbaugh going to Michigan, except Harbaugh's even, you know, like, been more successful. But, you know, Smart was that trendy guy coming out of ECU, seemed like a perfect hire at Texas, and it's just not working out. They're not winning games, and forget about being on the bubble. Like, they'd have to win. They'd almost have to win out. Like, they're not getting into the tournament. They're going in to take on Baylor tonight, Mark.
Yeah, they're a 12-loss basketball team and doubtful to make the NCAA tournament, like you say, unless they went on this unprecedented run, which I don't think they're capable of doing inside this conference, especially. That's a pretty strong Big 12 conference here. Kansas State, Texas Tech, Kansas, all really rock solid teams. Iowa State, a potential spoiler. I just don't think Texas fits the bill, and they'll likely end up being in the NIT or one of those other acronym type conference tournaments that come postseason, but they do not have the making of look of an NCAA basketball team.
And Mark's database, Baylor Bears 11-1 straight up, 8-0-1 against the spread at home with three or more days rest, 4-1 against the spread at home with same season revenge of 12 or more points. Longhorns just 3-8 straight up and against the spread. In this series against Baylor, looks like a good spot for Baylor tonight, Ken.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the points there in that game. You said it, Gabe. Texas have been good to me because, you know, we've been fading them. They still have that kind of reputation as a team. Yeah, and Mark, great point by you. The Iowa State Cyclones, like, I love this team. I think they're absolutely, you know, they don't get talked about nearly enough. Love what you said in the database too, Mark. Great note you have. This game's not really on the radar for people at our network. We bet on everything. A lot of our guys bet on Lipscomb games. So George Mason, when you were in the looking at the coffee club there, great statistics for them tonight versus Richmond, Mark. A lot of revenge angles, good stuff. Great way to break it down. But you said the Mason jar, the George Mason Patriots could be on the card tonight.
Yeah, the Mason jar, I think they'll be screwing that lid off tonight and going all out in this game here. They're coming off an upset loss their last game. Richmond just pulled an upset in their last game, and they took Mason out earlier in the season here. And what you've got here, guys, is a winning team playing with all this against a losing team. Mason the winner, Richmond the loser, and this is Mason that brought five starters back from last year's team. I think this is an ideal game for the Patriots here tonight.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com with us. You know, interesting time of the year right now in college basketball and in the NBA as well. You know, the tournament around the corner. I always find it's interesting, you know, what they expect from these kids, actually. You know, go hard every couple of nights on TV on ESPN. Then we're going to go through this crazy conference tournament that doesn't really mean anything, but it totally does, but it doesn't. And it's one of these, like, hectic type of deals. And then, oh, yeah, 4 days later, you're in a tournament that really matters. So some teams, you know, like a team like Duke, you know, they're, you know, last night, good call from people that had the balls to take Virginia Tech. You know, Coach Krzyzewski's not panicked about losing to Duke last night. He's thinking, all right, where are we going to be 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now? You know what I mean? Like, he's thinking, how do I get through this? How do I make this kid better right now so he can win for me in the tournament in the next 3 weeks? You know, Mark, you've been around a long time. This is where like, coaches will start sort of coaching a bit, actually, and thinking ahead. Some coaches don't even mind getting bounced early in their conference tournament. Some coaches hate their conference tournaments, right? They're like, screw this. I don't want to play on Saturday and Sunday. And then, right, you know, the selection Sunday right after, and your players are all sweaty there, tired, and then you're playing 4 days later. Some coaches like getting bounced early. It's very tricky time of the year to bet college basketball now, I find.
Well, some coaches also don't mind getting bounced late in the regular season games as well, just to kind of get the attention of their basketball team, to get them a little bit maybe more razor-focused for those conference tournament games. And what you mentioned about Duke losing last night, I think that was the perfect example last night of one of the handicapping theories that we like to use, and it applies in all sports. When a star athlete goes out and the team rallies around him, Duke did just that when Williamson went down.
The first game, right? Yeah.
The first game. The second game, though, is always a different tale. It's a different story.
I know.
And which Duke saw last night when they went into Virginia Tech and laid points on the road without Williamson.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It happened with the NBA, too. Remember when Davis sat down, Pelicans went out and won that game, right? Outright type thing. His dogs, then they covered the next night, you know, but they got lucky. They covered by like half a point the next game. And then reality kicks in and they start getting killed, right? Like,
yeah,
you're right, Mark. You see it time and time and time and time again, except one team. And in the coffee club today, I know there's some numbers here we'll get to. One team, the Houston Rockets. This one, they're one of the most difficult teams in any sport, in any league, for me to figure out. Like, they, if not the most difficult. You know, hey, you know, they're playing Golden State. They don't have Harden. They'll win the game outright. You know what I mean? Like, they have Harden. They'll blow a 19-point lead to Orlando or something. Like, they really are schizophrenic, this team. Like, they're all over the place, the Houston Rockets.
They are, and I don't think what went on with James Harden helps this basketball team at all either, to bring them together on the same page. They're the type of team that when you expect them to win, they don't, and when you expect them to lose, they don't.
Yep. Correct. Exactly. They piss me off, that team.
I'm just glad I have a full head of hair, because if I didn't, you know, I'd be bald looking at them right now.
Oh, no, they've killed me. I've lost my hair because of that. Them and the Orlando Magic who have just screwed us. Absolutely screwed us. But looking at some numbers from the database today, the Houston Rockets 0-6 as road favorites against non-conference opponents. 0-6. That's an ugly number right there. The Atlanta Hawks, and I tell you what, you know, we all said, oh, you got to take Luka Doncic and Trae Young this, Trae Young that. And, yeah, Luka Doncic has been amazing. But Trae Young's played really well. I mean, Trae Young's putting some nice numbers up, and he looks like a real player as well. And I got to tell you, even without looking at the database here, Mark, and seeing that the Atlanta Hawks are 6-1 against the spread at home against Northwest Division opponents, there's no way in hell I trust the Minnesota Timberwolves laying 5 points on the road against anybody. Like, I wouldn't trust them laying 5 against the Washington Generals.
Now, it looks to me like the wrong team may be favored in this basketball game, and it's a perfect setup for the Hawks. They're coming off an 8-point loss and Minnesota off a win here. This is the kind of games where you see these upsets. Don't be surprised if it happens with Atlanta tonight.
Yeah. Great point, Gabe. Like, I look at Young. This guy's just like, he's starting to feel it and getting more confident. The Atlanta Hawks are one of those teams not good. They're covering numbers. That's the thing about them. Doesn't matter how good. They're getting better and better all the time, and those young players are getting more confident. I like them. They're going to be a play-on team for me.
Brooklyn, an interesting team as well. They've been on a nice run. Fun team to watch, Mark, the Brooklyn Nets. Laying 5.5 tonight. Yeah, Washington just 3-7 straight up in their last 10 games. But Brooklyn generally play pretty close games. I don't really love laying points with the Brooklyn Nets.
One of the surprise teams, under the radar surprise teams in the NBA this year, the Nets. Not a lot was expected from them. But the people that have been backing them have really enjoyed doing that because they're cashing tickets.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, best newsletter in the business. Got you covered. NBA, AAF, college basketball. Get the Bahamas Club as well. Go to playbook.com for all the information or on your mobile device. Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, my dear guys, enjoy the games. Be well.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Jake's not playing around with the music this week. Like it. Game time decisions. Ready to break radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm here with Ramsey. Going down with Cam Stewart. Lou from Gamblu.com will step up and then join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk UFC, some interesting fights this week on the ticket in Las Vegas, Nevada. But we were talking earlier about a little Major League Baseball rule changes. Me and Cam will hit this the robot umps after the fact. And a little bit later on the show, we'll get Cam's take on the robots that no doubt will one day rule our world.
Correct.
But that's the future world. Let's kick it old school with a three-time manager of the year, a World Series champion, and an all-around badass Major League Baseball manager, Jim Leland.
Morning After, Fantasy Sports Radio, Television Network, Sports Byline. Shout out to all our affiliates, wherever you're tuning in, television partners, affiliates as well, online, Roku, Pluto, Mars, and everything else in between. I am Gabriel Moretzi. I'm Gabriel Moretzi in Midtown Manhattan, Studio 34. Joe Ranieri is in Miami, Florida. And I'm very, very excited to welcome in a man right now. I'm stoked when we found out he's joining us on the show, one of my all-time favorite managers. a three-time manager of the year, a World Series champion, a gold medalist champion in the WBC, another event I'm a massive fan of. Jim Leland steps up and joins us. Skip, thanks a lot for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, good stuff. Thanks a lot for joining us. We really appreciate your time. I'm Gabriel Morenci. We're in New York. And Joe Ranieri's in Florida, the other voice that you were here. But we're talking about the potential rule changes that are put on the table. And I see they just announced this morning they're going to push back the pitch clock. The talk of the pitch clock for a couple of years. Max Scherzer said, this is one thing I just can't stand for. I know a lot of people think of you as like, the old hard ass Jim Leland's going to hate everything. But I know you want to grow the game. You want the game to be the best sport possible. So out of all the rule changes that are sort of proposed, which ones did you like the most and which ones did you dislike the most, Skip?
Well, I think when you have something that's been, in effect for so many years, anytime you have a change, people are going to react to it. But it's normally they only react temporarily once they get used to it. Like, when's the last time you heard them talking about the mound business last year?
Yeah.
They talked about it right off the bat. People didn't like it, but you don't hear that at all anymore. I think there's a lot of changes that could be made in the future that, it'll be something that's a hot topic for a couple of weeks. I think the players and everybody else will get used to it, and I think that they forget all about it. So I don't think it's as dramatic as a lot of people are making it out to be.
You managed in a WBC, and in a WBC they play with the format where if it goes to extra innings, they put the runner on first. Yeah, what did you think of that? Like, you look like you said, you look at football, there used to be ties. Now there's overtime, right? Sports change, sports evolve, rules evolve. But how did you feel about that, like the World Baseball Classic rules, that format?
We like that rule. I think you should play the game out. I don't really like the rule where they do it in the minor leagues for protection of their pitchers and everything and time frame, but I'm really not crazy about that one particularly. I think that what that one would be good for would be like the All-Star game.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're playing an All-Star game where you're worried about using somebody's pitchers, you're the manager of the All-Star game, you got somebody else's pitchers, obviously. You don't want to take a chance. You don't want to get caught shorthand. You don't want to be embarrassed. So I think for an All-Star game, I think it's a great idea. Regular season, I don't particularly like that one.
Hey, Coach, Joe Ranieri here. I got to ask you, obviously, over the last couple of years, one of the newest trends in baseball, not just with the players, but it's the managers. There are teams and organizations are hiring inexperienced managers. They're cheaper. And, by the way, they're a lot more adhering to analytics in today's game. But how have you found the manager position in Major League Baseball changed recently? And is that a good thing?
Well, I think it just depends on each individual club, the way they think is the best way to go. I think that, you're talking about guys that inexperienced managers. For instance, when Brad Osmus followed me here in Detroit, no, he didn't really have much managing experience, but he played 18, 19 years in the big league. So, Aaron Boone played a lot of time in the big league. So, Alex Cora, a big league player for a long time. So, I don't think it's such a shock. I think one thing they all find out is that, they're better the second time around. I mean, their second year than they were the first year because they've seen some things. When you've never managed, you're probably going to see some things that first time that you've really never seen before because you're in a different position now. But I don't have any problem with that at all. I think, clubs got to do whatever they think gives them the best chance to win. They got to pick the guy that they think is the right guy for their particular team, and that's what it appears they're doing.
Who was, I wanted to ask you, Jim, where did you, you learn the game of baseball? I know, you were close with Tony La Russa. If somebody asked you, where did you learn your philosophy of managing? Was it a little bit of, guys you picked up along over the years in the minors as well? But, who taught you the game or, who did you model yourself after when you were a younger manager, Jim?
Well, I just tried to listen to everybody. I tried to take, I listened to the veteran managers, minor leagues. I spent a lot of time in minor leagues, so that's where I got most of my experience. So, and it was wonderful. It was something that was good for me. And, I still think it's good. Anytime you can get experience, obviously you're going to probably be a little bit more prepared when you get there. But, what I did was I listened to all the baseball guys that I was around, and I didn't say much, and I kind of took what I liked, and I put it into my own personality, and I took what I didn't like, and I discarded it. So, you know, you listen, and you learn, and then you experience it actually in the minor leagues. You know, managing that long, you see a lot of things happen, so you're probably a little bit more prepared than somebody that's never managed when you get there.
Jim, I got to ask you, you know, it's an honor to be able to ask someone that's, you know, a three-time manager of the year, and both in the American and in the National League. And I'm one of these dudes. I grew up in Montreal, so I grew up and, you know, with your Pirates at the time and National League baseball. And, you know, I've always been a National League guy. I prefer the rules, I think, and I've always said you got to manage it. It's you know, it's National League. It's, there's more. It's not just softball in the American League. So I'm going to give it to you, one of the best in the business. What do you think of the potential of the DH being implemented? And it looks like it's going to happen eventually in the National League. And which one did you prefer managing? What are the biggest differences? And did you have a preference? Do you prefer National League or American League ball?
Well, I'm probably going to surprise you. I hope I don't make you mad, but I'm probably going to surprise you because, see, I think it's tougher to manage in the American League.
Really?
Most everybody thinks it's tougher to manage in the National League, but I'll tell you what my point is. A lot of managers is handling your pitching staff. That's the bulk of your managing and knowing how to run a pitching staff. And in the American League, you have to be exactly precise when you get your pitcher out of there. In the National League, if you get behind in a game, you can have your best pitcher. You're going to have the best pitcher in the league pitching for you. But you get to the fourth, fifth inning, and you're down three or four runs, you get in a situation where you got a pinch hit. So your decision is made for you. And that makes that easier to me because you have no choice. But in the American League, you have to be precise exactly when you go get your pitcher. You might give up a couple of runs in the first inning and go on, settle down, and pitch a heck of a game. And he might go 8-9 innings. But in the National League, if you get behind, your decision's made for you. You got a pinch hit. So I think from that standpoint, I do agree with you that there's more to do in the National League. It's probably more fun because you're double switching, you're making more moves. But as far as the difficulty of it, I think it's harder to manage in the American League.
Wow. There it is, Joe, coming from a man that would know, right?
Yeah, you're damn right he would know. And, Coach, I was hoping maybe you could give us your experience. Bruce Bochy, of course, announced that he's going to hang him up here. And I don't know if you've obviously known Bruce a very, very long time. What can you tell us and the listeners about the kind of manager and the kind of guy that he is over the years?
Well, he was one of those guys that got the players' respect. He's a great manager. He goes about his business. He doesn't get too excited. Not a lot of fanfare. You know, he's kind of, like an old shoe. He's kind of real comfortable, you know what I mean? And he's real comfortable to play for, handles the players very well, great strategist, one of the great managers in the game, to be honest with you. And, I read his quote, and it was kind of funny to me because I said when I retired in 2013 from managing, I said, you know, when it's time, it's time. And that's exactly what he said the other day when I listened to his conference. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's been a great manager. I think, to be honest with you, I think him and Brian Sabian have been one of the best manager, general manager combinations in baseball. There's no question about that. They've done a fantastic job. So we'll miss him, but he's ready to move on and, you know, open up another chapter in his life, and we wish him the best.
And on a lighter note, too, guys, I believe Bruce Bochy has the largest head in Major League Baseball history. Largest hat size.
Yes. He's, they're all specially made.
Yeah, he's got a lot in there too.
Yeah, he's got a lot in there. Jim Leyland with us. Before we get you out of here, what do you make? Like, speaking of difficulty for managing, it seems like teams. We saw Tampa Bay do this with success, and then we saw Milwaukee do it in the playoffs, in which you're throwing out of relievers, basically. You're going through 7-8 pitchers in a game, and you're switching, you know, you're taking your pitchers out every inning. I'm just thinking, that's almost like being at a blackjack table, and, man, it's a lot of decisions you have to make, Skip, and eventually, you know, you could get burned. Is this a trend that we're going to see because of cost and because of the approach, or is this sort of a quick fad that'll pass over, do you think?
No, I don't think that will take a – I don't think it'll last real long myself. There might be some guys that do it on occasion, but You know, everybody talks about the bullpen in today's game. Let me tell you something. Your best bullpen is a 6 2/3, 7-inning starter. That's your best bullpen. And if you don't have good starting pitchers, you're not going anywhere. You know, look at the Scherzers. They get paid. These pitchers get paid. I mean, they're starting pitchers. Justin Verlander, they're outstanding pitchers. They take their team deep into the game. You know, 5-inning pitcher, that might be all right for a 5th starter. But for good starting pitchers, that's your best bullpen because you can rest your bullpen. And when you're using your bullpen because you want to and not because you have to, then you're in a good situation. And the way to use it because you want to is when you get 6 2/3, 6 1/3, 7, once in a while 8 innings out of your starter. This is a long season, and you need to protect that bullpen. And I just I'm a big believer in starting pitching. That's where it all starts to me. And if you got outstanding starters and a good closer, you got a chance to win.
Jim, it's been an honor to have you on the show. We'd love to do it again. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
No problem. You got it. Thank you.
There's Jim Leland with us. Really enjoyed that, Joe. It's great talking to some of the great managers. I miss it. Like I said, I used to cover the Expos and speak to these guys pretty much every day. Love talking baseball with guys that has been there. I mean, I don't think people realize, too, he started managing like in the 70s in the minor leagues. Like, this guy is the definition of paying your dues. And you know what the minors like. He was there a long freaking time, dude, before he got hired by La Russa to be like a bench coach with him, like in the White Sox in the early 80s.
Yeah, that's why guys like Bochy, I mean, that's the end of an era. I mean, once Bruce Bochy goes and retires, this is it. That guys like Leland, Bochy, they, you know, you're going to be dealing with guys like Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia, who Bryce Harper doesn't want to play for. 43-year-old guys, like he said, has, you know, played 12 years in a league, never managed, never had to manage people. And of course, you know, sits there and picks up the phone and puts the lineup out that the general manager sends down. So it's a different era moving forward with baseball and how they manage these players.
Morning After continues, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Too bad you're not here tomorrow night, Cam. People are getting pretty fired up, man, about the return of John Tavares.
Oh, I know. I'd love to be there. That'd be great. Oh, yeah, no. People on Long Island want to, like, yeah, no, burn them. I know. Like, there were stories going out, like, before, like, earlier on in the week. They were interviewing people, like, at Long Island, at the Islanders practice, like, people in the parking lot. I want to punch Tavares in the face. Yeah. Traitor. Yeah, no, it's awesome. Like, I love it. And that's a weird thing. Like, as a Leafs fan, I still have always had a soft spot for the Islanders, for the league, the way they treated them. That's what we talked about with Kurtz. These guys,
but he went to your team.
Yeah, I know. But he's not my favorite Leaf. I like Tavares, but I know is a guy that I know really, really well. A very good friend of mine played lacrosse with him. Like, my buddy was almost a pro lacrosse player. He probably could have played in the league, but he had a wife and other things, you know, other businesses. So, you know, he knows that Tavares is a pretty serious guy. Like, he's so one of those guys.
His brother's a lacrosse legend, right?
Yes, exactly. My friend played with him, and John was very good, too. Thing is, my buddy Slim used to tell me a lot of time, like, sometimes Tavares, like, he could rub you the wrong way a lot of the time, like, even at reunions, well,
he's a superstar athlete. What do you expect?
You know, it is. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't expect you to be friendly, you know, that, in a perfect world. But anyway, yeah. The Islanders are going to be really angry that game. Like, I know everyone's thinking, oh, trap game or whatever for the Leafs. Like, the Leafs might beat Edmonton, we're on the game I'm going to tonight, but the Islanders are going to bring their A game that night. It's going to get real ugly, I think.
The Islanders will beat the Leafs tomorrow.
I think they will, too. I think they will, too. They'll show up. Beat them.
I'm going to get George Kurtz on the morning show tomorrow to talk about
early rage with George Kurtz.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Alex is a Steeler fan, the chief of staff. I didn't realize he's into the Islanders as well. And he's so into it, actually. Him and his buddies are going tomorrow at like 11 or 12 to basically yell at Tavares as they roll in for the morning skate. Like,
awesome.
In the parking lot, they're going to be waiting for him. Like, there's going to be like...
Hey, John.
Yeah, like New Yorkers are waiting for Tavares to show up at the arena tomorrow morning. Like, they're not jobbing.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Back to live updates, fellas. Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. They said never touch Adrian Beltre on his head, and Russell Westbrook, he doesn't like to be touched either. Westbrook says grabby fans with fast hands have too much leeway in the NBA after being touched last night by a kid in Denver. Westbrook's guy, like, thought you'd like this one, Gabe. Westbrook scolded the adult that he was with. He said, hey, your kid hit me. So I told his dad, be careful. Westbrook asking the NBA to set up some type of rule or boundaries. He says they can't allow this stuff to happen. And, you know, this isn't a one-time incident, Gabe. Remember back in the day when they got eliminated by the Utah Jazz, he took a swipe at a man's cell phone while walking off the floor.
Not his fault.
But he's sick and tired of the fans touching him.
That was his fault. Like, that's the whole thing. And I like Westbrook, but, and he's right. People shouldn't be touching the players. I've never touched a player, even though I've sat like close, etc. But
can't touch
the thing is, he also shouldn't be slapping cell phones out of fans' hands.
That's true. That kid touched him last night, though. So,
I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, just, you should touch players. Like, there's gonna no consequences for it. Like, that's the thing. Well, like, players are going to snap if you start touching them. Anyway, we'll talk more about this issue. Bryce Harper, we talked about the Giants being in the mix. Originally a short-term offer. Now they're saying long-term. Yeah, they should have, actually.
You got me right on this. You're right. They should have.
Yeah, you can't touch. You, no offense. I don't like, I like Russell Westbrook. Great player, but
or at least kick him out.
You can't touch him.
If it was you or me, if you were, I'd, like, reached in and touched Westbrook, they'd be like, oh, you're out of here. You're under arrest.
Gabe, I said Billy Koch is a piece of shit, and they kicked me out of the Sky Dome. So, like, what's that? I didn't touch the guy.
Oh, you're being mean to Billy Koch.
Yeah, I said, Billy Koch, you cost me a money. I think you suck as a closer. He was with the White Sox, and he, and then the security goes, get him out of here. Anyway,
I got
Billy
a
Koch
yellow
does
card.
Suck.
I got a yellow card. I got a yellow card once in a Raptor game.
Yellow card.
They used to have like a yellow card, red card system, so you get like the yellow card warning.
Yeah,
they don't actually give you a card, but it's like it's called the yellow card, red card. So
that's awesome.
They came over and they were like, sir, you've been given a yellow card. And really, I wasn't that bad. Like, I wasn't like raving drunk. I was, but it was when we were on the score, me and Garner were literally courtside. Like, we were literally like in the front row. And I was mouthing off to the ref. I told the ref he blew a couple of times. But
yeah,
I didn't say effing. Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Remember though in the old days, like the Toronto used to be more uptight? Like, remember the old days at Leaf games, man? Like, it was like quiet in there.
My buddy got kicked out of a ball game for going, you remember Jonathan Papelbon? Papelblow. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you can't even have fun in this game. Yeah, like, what? Oh, that's offensive.
Right. I've seen people get tossed out of Blue Jay games
for nothing.
Chanting.
Yeah,
you're right. Security, and they rough you up too. Like
they, oh yeah, they don't know, trust me.
They don't screw around. Like they send the cops in, so like the security doesn't even do anything. They just sort of say that guy, and then you'll see the cops like ripping people up. Dude, remember when the Buffalo Bills played in Toronto? I've never seen so many arrests in a football game. It was just like people getting dragged out left and right.
Yeah, you're right. They rough you up too, Morenci. Well, anyway, yeah, we talked about Bryce Harper there. No deal yet, Gabe. I'm getting sick and tired of this. The Giants apparently back in the mix. But Harper, he wants a contract bigger than, boycott. Giancarlo Stanton, $325 million. Harper wants more. Hey, I'm with you. I think the Dodgers four-year deal, that's the best option for him. He obviously doesn't look like he wants to go to Philly, but we'll see what happens there. We talked about robot umps maybe coming to baseball one day, but in the Independent League, they're going to test them out first. The Atlantic League says these robots are going to be in all eight ballparks, and we'll
see how the robot ups do before they go to MLB. And we talked about this one, Gabe, Johnny Manziel, the era in the Canadian Football League toast. It doesn't matter, though. As you know, his family are oil tycoons. But the CFL's directed the Alouettes to release Manziel after he was found violating the conduct agreement, which he made him eligible to play in the league in the first place. The league also informed all other teams it will not register a contract to them. So basically what I'm saying is it's over. Johnny Manziel and the CFL is done. We'll see what happens there. Maybe the AAF, I doubt that too. And you talked about the XFL, not good enough, too much money there. So he might be done for football.
Bill Polian's a serious dude. Do you think they want this mess of Johnny Manziel? Like,
no.
He's obviously messed up. Like, he's got personal issues. Forget about him playing football. He's not even good at playing football.
Nope. And in the NCAA, Wisconsin just released Alex Hornibrook, Gabe. So, yeah, he's done his career in Wisconsin. We'll get to all the other stories. We got betting lines, DFS, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned, everybody. With Wisconsin, they had the number one recruit. So, Hornibrook's done from the Wisconsin Badgers. Bye-bye.
Oh, so he's transferring.
Yeah, well, yeah, they haven't picked a school yet. Like, he's done there. He's leaving. They haven't said what school's happening, but rough year, too. I would think 13 interceptions he threw last year. Not his best year for the Badgers.
I don't want to be mean to the kid, but it's not like Alabama's going to be lining up for him. Like, he's terrible.
Excellent point. Yeah, he had a bad year.
You know, like, you know what, though, Cammy? He'll be good in the MAC. Like,
oh,
a downgrade, like from Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like put him in the MAC. Like, seriously, if I was a MAC team, like
Miami of Ohio, you perfect.
Hornibrook. No, Ohio Bobcats.
Oh, nice. Good call with Frank Solich.
Yeah, yeah.
Got
put him
answers.
On a MAC team, and yeah, he'll be good. Like, he could win a MAC title type thing.
Solich and Hornibrook, stay tuned, everybody. Yeah, more Red Heat and Rage. It's coming up next. We'll talk about robot ups, whatever you guys want to talk about, and a hell of a lot more. I'm Cam Stewart with Gabe Moretzi. Stay around. Stick around, everybody.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level 2 continues as I look up when I see Michael Cohen still on the stand.
They're sweating him out hard.
Oh, he looks worn out, man. He looks beaten down right now.
I know. I'm turning it to CNN right now. So watch.
Look at his face, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's always the same guys, too, that are showing. Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks like a man that hasn't slept in a while. Right.
Yeah,
I know that. I know. Like, I know that look. That's the look of I am beaten. I am just ready to concede.
he's
trying, though. He's really like, he looks like he's grinding through it, but he looks really famished.
I saw earlier. Look at the greaseball lawyers behind him.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. Come on, Cohen.
That's everything you say.
Yeah, exactly. It's so bad. It's almost like the Groundhog Day. It's every time they go to the committee, it's the same stupid thing. How you doing? Okay, what about this? It's like, okay, bud, I'm going to come over to your house and see what
couple
kind
of things Americans, couple of things Americans love, Cam. Football, guns, press conferences, and hearings.
I like football. Really, I love football.
They love these things. Like, it's basically, wow, we're gonna have a hearing. And like you said, everyone grandstands. And why are you saying that you? Like, everyone just grandstands and throws stuff out. And like, same thing. You'll notice with like whenever there's like a major like tragedy or shooting or anything happens, like, ooh, the press conference is coming up. Let's go to the press conference. Like. It's like you're not going to learn anything from the press conference. Like, it's just,
no.
Let's go to the press conference. But this, the lawyer, one of the guys behind him. So do you see the two lawyers sitting by Cohen?
Oh, yeah. Like, they're like stoic looks there, older guy and pensive guy on the left. Yeah.
The guy to Cohen's right. You know Seth Davis?
Yeah.
College basketball analyst? That's his father.
Yeah. Wow. Actually, you know what? I can kind of see it in him a little bit. In his face, just a little bit. Like, he's old, obviously. Oh, yeah, no.
No, you
can't good looking guy. Yes, I can. A little bit of Seth
Which
Davis
color tie? Which guy are you looking at? Which
the,
color
the guy
tie?
In the blue. The guy in the blue tie. That's Seth Davis's father, not the other guy.
That's
who looks
not
like
his
Prince Charles. Oh, it's the other guy? Okay.
Yeah, the other guy, you're right. That's why I said that, because the guy in the blue.
The other guy looks more
like
him.
Davis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other guy looks like Prince Charles.
I said the guy to Michael Cohen's right.
I don't know where your TV's situated, Adam.
Your TV. I didn't say me. I said to Mike because I thought of it. I was like, yeah, he's to my left, but he's to Michael Cohen's right. I said, look over Cohen's right shoulder. That's Seth Davis's father.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decision. Red Heat and Rage on Radio. Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. Now I'm getting blamed for Johnny Manziel because I told him he should play in the CFL. Like, yeah, he listened to me. But I did tell him.
Yeah, you also said that you're at the hotel that weekend in Costa Rica. You say you were living a clean life. You're telling him, like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, you said he was, like, toning it down and stuff like that. But who knew what happens? Closed doors, right?
Yeah.
No reporters there. That's the thing.
He toned it down and sort of earlier in the night, but he went pretty hard late. Even me, I got fooled. I got fooled, and they said, "No, he trashed his hotel room, and he was a big load to deal with." So, he was nice to me. You know, I told you he was in the room next door to me, basically two doors down. And I rolled in. I was really wasted too. Like I sort of bumped into the wall. Like I was stumbling through a hotel hallway. Yes. And Manziel's like, "Hey, dude, you all right?" I was like, "Hey, what up, Johnny? I'm all right. How you doing?" Like. I'm fumbling, trying to get my key in the door and stuff, to get in the key card thing, figure it out and stuff. Manziel's cracking up. And even in my wasted state, I thought, man, I got problems, man, when I'm more wasted than Manziel. Like, I'm like, man, I got to get it together. But anyways, let's bring in Lou right now. Gambling.
He's got it together.
Com joins us. Lou, what's up, Lou?
Lou. Not too much, gentlemen. Happy Wednesday. Got a nice slate of fights for UFC 235 upcoming, and we're getting closer to hockey playoffs. It's a good time of the year.
Lou, remember last week Lou was talking to us about like nice, and we were talking about those things, those wind storms, whatever they're called. Gabe, I was driving here. We got 15 inches of snow. I almost died on the highway today. My windshield wiper like came off just before I got on, so I had to like whatever. We're like, oh, it was crazy, man. I didn't tell you like what happened today. It was like very, very scary driving. Lou, I think we got to head out west. That's the next plan. Start looking for some real estate in the surrounding states, Arizona. Yeah, maybe Reno. Like, yeah, it's time to go. I'm done. With winter,
told you Reno is pricier than we thought it was.
Yeah, it's true.
Anywhere as you start to move to the southwest, I mean, I hate to say this, and I do say it with all due respect, but growth and income and future is in America to me is like a tube of toothpaste, and it's going from the northeast down to the southwest. I mean that, and if you want to make a new start. Come where it's arid. I mean, anywhere, Colorado, Utah, Idaho. I take California out of there, Arizona, New Mexico. You could buy land in New Mexico for nothing. And all you got is clean air and nice people.
You're right, Gabe. Albuquerque, that's the destination. Good call. Balloon Festival there. Nice life. Yeah, I like the Lobos. We'll hang out with the pit. Sounds good. Yeah.
Great Mexican food.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Nice, good-looking women.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Well, have you ever watched Breaking Bad, Cam? That's where they filmed it.
Oh, yeah. New Mexico. That's good. The land's cheap. If the land's cheap, I'm in anywhere. We can make it happen.
Yeah, you get a place. You get a place with a pool and like
live like a king.
Right? Nice. Yeah. All right, Lou. Lou, as I was going to say before Cam, I get it. I just retweeted. I see the Toronto Blue Jays just tweeted out a story. of it was like split screen. So the weather in Toronto outside their stadium and the weather in Dundee in Florida. Yeah, it looks like it's kind of a nasty day in Toronto right now, Cam.
Yeah, it's a bad one, Gabe. Real bad, yeah. It's they had a pile up on the highway, like thousands of cars. Like it's crazy, man. Like today was like the day Lou really got me thinking. But we'll continue. We'll talk talk about fights. Happier stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. let's get into it. Oh, just for the record, speaking of fights, so we'll try to get him on the show, actually. Royce White, NBA player.
Yeah.
Royce White.
Yeah, he's going into MMA, right?
Yeah, he's going to get into mixed martial arts. Big dude. He's 6'8", and he's a large dude, and he's kind of unhinged as well. So if you remember, he was a pretty crazy player. So he actually might be good at this. But let's jump in and talk about a guy that we know is really good at this. Let's start off with the main event, UFC 235. Excuse me, I think I accidentally tweeted UFC 234 earlier. It's hard to keep up. But, you know, Lou, I'm looking at the main event here with John Jones and Anthony Smith, and you normally don't see the disparity in numbers like I'm seeing here right now. You know, like most places have John Jones in the minus 800 range or so, but a few other spots have him as high as minus 1400.
Yeah, and that's because they're afraid of him. They don't really want the money. And if you look at the guys that have the minus 1400, what's their comeback? 650, 700. I mean, it's not like you're getting 1100 on the other side. They're just ripping your lips off.
They are. Well said, Lou.
You know what? It's not bad. Great call, Lou, because look at this. I'm not trying to throw any specific books under the bus.
Yeah,
but I actually play at Bookmaker, but Bookmaker has minus 1450 plus 700.
Okay? Exactly.
Yet BetOnline has minus 900 plus 600.
Yeah,
that's obviously a better payback right there. So let's jump in here, Lou. Are you giving, you're an underdog guy, you giving this underdog any chance in hell of winning Anthony Smith versus John Jones?
Only the puncher's chance, because if you really look at these guys, I think based on the stout competition John Jones has faced, he doesn't have many one-punch knockouts. He does a lot of work through attrition. Smith has had some one-punch luck back in the day, but that's all he's got. He has no ability to wrestle. And John Jones, what makes any MMA world-class fighter really good is usually a stout wrestling background, and John Jones' wrestling is world-class, top of the line, and that's what makes him so dangerous. So you got to try and find some other way to find value in this fight, because there is none with Anthony Smith, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a very good point. If we look into method of victory, John Jones by KO, TKO, is minus 500. You know what I mean? So it's not like you're getting any value there either. So then we get into the totals, essentially. And, you know, it's a good point that you raise, Lou. It's one thing, though, when John Jones is fighting a dangerous opponent where, you know, he'll pick his spots, and he is. That's what makes him so dangerous, too. It's not like he's just so explosive and reckless. He is very smart. Like, his fight IQ, the distance that he keeps, the angles. He's a very good defensive fighter. People talk about his offense, but he's so great defensively as well. But this is one of these deals where it's sort of like a football game where he can name the score here. You know what I mean? He can name the score. So the question is it a weakness? Can he get caught because he figures, you know what, I'm a minus 1,400 favorite. He's going to know this. And, you know, John Jones is in a weird spot here. It's one of those he can't win. You know, he wins, people go, yeah, whatever. He loses, it's the end of the world, and it's one of the biggest upsets in MMA history. So he puts himself in a weird spot, but does he just want to come out and murder this guy is the question, Lou, and kill him in the first round, because he could if he wanted to. I'm inclined to sort of think that it ends late in the first round, early in the second round. I don't think Smith can handle, I don't think Smith can hang with him. And I don't think John Jones wants to waste his time standing in there either, because it hurts his stock the longer the fight goes. He's not Floyd Mayweather, where he waits for the sixth round to turn it on. He has been a little bit more patient, but he's fought in more dangerous fighters. I think personally, Lou, in my opinion, I think Jones is going to stop this guy and relatively fast.
Yeah, I believe that he will stop him as well, Gabriel. I think that Jones can do it any which way he wants. I mean, is he gonna slow him, soften him down with leg kicks, to soften the forward coming power puncher with leg kicks before he strikes him out, or is he gonna take him right down and wrestle him, which could take longer? But either way, it's his to decide.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll continue breaking down this fight, man. We've got Usman, we've got Woodley, Ben Askren makes his debut against Robbie Lawler. We've got a freaking stack card. Let's roll. Game Time Decisions continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We appreciate your patience. Thanks, Yang.
Yep. Thank you.
It's a good show. It's a good show, that card show. I just don't want to hear it right now during our show. like the show. I don't want to hear it right now. But Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. I couldn't tell if it was that show or it was just like my echo that I usually have there. I'm like, it's still there. But no, that's just me. All right, so Anthony Smith, John Jones. You know, what are you going to say? Listen, one thing with Anthony Smith, it's been a nice little run for him. But, you know, I don't normally like echoing Colby Covington's statements. But as Cam says, he raises good points. Like, you know, if you look at Anthony Smith and who he's fought in, and the run that he's on right now. I mean, Cam, we're talking about a fighter. Like, John Jones has never lost a fight, all right?
Exactly.
John Jones is 23-1. And the one loss wasn't a loss. It was a disqualification. It was, you know, bogus, whatever. This Anthony Smith dude's 31-13. Listen, I guess, you know, Lou, I would say the most impressive win would be against Hector Lombard, right, back in 2017. Yeah. I mean, he beat Lombard. He lost to Thiago Santos. Rashad Evans, you know, has been done for years. Shogun Hua, done for years. Ozdemir, we'll give him credit for that win. But, you know, he sort of made his reputation on beating older fighters right now. You know, game, nice run by the guy. Good for him that he's making the money. But as I stated, before we move on from this fight, Lou, over-under is 1.5. What do you say? Over-under 1.5.
Yeah, I don't want any part of it. It all depends on Jones and what he wants to do. If he wrestles, it could take him a round and a half to eventually ground and pound Smith enough to take him out. And if Smith has any kind of showing at all, it goes over. I tend to lean to the over, Gabe, with a gun to my head, but I'm not betting it.
Yeah.
Guy's getting a lot of hate, too, like from other people, like lots of guys really into MMA.
Guys, sorry, we'll try to talk over this, guys, but you got to get this fixed here, guys. Like, we can hear the show that's going on in the studio right now.
Hopefully the listeners can.
We hear them, guys. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter whether it's going out on the air or not. We hear it, like, loud and clear. And it's hard for us to talk if we have these guys talking like a show's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really got to get this done. Like, we just took a break to get this done. We came back, and there it is again. It's still there. They're talking about Ryan Hoskins and shit.
Yep. I like Hoskins a lot.
Or is it Ryan Hoskins? My bad.
Riz, Rise. Yeah, whatever.
Riz.
Call,
Ryan, right,
call him Rizzy Rise. It's funny, though, guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk. This is a big UFC card here. Like,
it's a big
one. I got a card show going on in my ears here. You know what I mean? Like, holy.
Well, what I would say is,
I guess we'll just yell over it, guys. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. Hopefully, go ahead, the Luke. Listeners. Hopefully, the listeners can't hear it. What I would say is, yeah, his decent win would be Hector Lombard, but as soon as he gets to Thiago Santos, and oh, by the way, Santos has looked great lately. Santos kicked him in the body and put him out. So, you know, if John Jones watched the Santos fight, now he has the kicks. And who has worse, more lethal leg kicks, body kicks, and head kicks than John Jones, for crying out loud? He knocked DC out with one. So he's a worthy, you know, 750 favorite.
All right, Lou from Gambling.com with us. All right, so Woodley and Usman. Here's one of the big fights where the numbers, the odds aren't totally crazy here.
A lot of chirping going on, Woodley, too, Gabe. These guys don't like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of hate going on. I like that.
With Woodley being like a minus 175 favorite in this fight, Lou.
Yes, and this is a very interesting – this is a really interesting fight, guys. It's interesting to me because I think that Woodley, for whatever reason, tends to get underappreciated and a little bit overlooked. Now, Usman has all of the advantages insofar as he's the man 5 years younger. He's going to be the taller man, and he's going to have reach. But when you look into their game – if you look at how each fights, I don't know where Usman is better than Woodley in any mixed martial arts specialty. I don't see how Usman's level of competition even approaches what Woodley has seen and beaten. And I love how the line on this is kind of compressing and moving towards Usman because I like Tyron Woodley here. I think he's at 165. He's getting to be a value, guys.
Yeah, yeah, this is 160, 165. You guys know better than me, man, but Woodley's a killing machine. Like, seems like a good price, Gabe.
And the thing with Woodley is, too, yeah, he's been real good to me. And people don't like Woodley, so he's not very popular.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, they sort of bet against him, and they sort of underestimate him. It's sort of, he's got like that Floyd Mayweather thing going on about him, where like every fight, people sort of overestimate his opponent, how they have a chance to beat him. Or, oh, but now he's facing a striker. Oh, now he's facing someone that can wrestle, too. And like you said, Lou, one thing about Woodley, he's not flashy, but he's really smart, right? He's smart. He knows he's got, and like you stated, he's a very well-rounded fighter. I mean, he's a great wrestler. He's got great power. He's got great speed. He's got good fight IQ. He's not reckless. He fights to win. He doesn't fight for the guy in the upper deck in the stands to put on a show. He's, you know, he's there to just sort of win the fight and move on. I think it's a good matchup for him against Usman here, too. And as you stated, people are going to be betting on Usman throughout the week because they don't like Woodley. And Usman's physically impressive, and he's 14-1.
Yeah, you know, also, it's interesting. Woodley and Askren, another guy on this card, wrestling-based guy, they've been training together. They're friends. They went to Missouri together. And they're best buddies. And they both, especially Askren, has had past dealings with Usman, who was a college wrestler in my home state of Nebraska at the University of Kearney. So these guys go back. And I just tweeted out a segment that the guys at MMA Junkie did. And basically at the 10-minute mark of this film, Usman approaches Askren. And Askren is sitting there talking in the hallway with Dana White. Usman comes up to him and tries to hover over him and flare up. And Askren's response tells you all you need to know. I don't think Woodley and Askren are intimidated or afraid of Kamaru Usman or his game in any capacity.
No, I don't think Woodley's intimidated by anybody. And as you stated, you know, Woodley's gone through, he's gone through the murderer's row here from Gastelum to Lawler to Stephen Thompson twice, Damian Maya, Darren Till. So he's fought in, you know, he's fought in the karate-style fighter, explosive stand-up fighter, the jiu-jitsu specialist, the knockout specialist, in Darren Till. You go down the list, I mean, You know, he's shown that, Lou, he's shown that he can fight against different styles of fighters time and time again.
And I like the fact that he feels disrespected. I like how he matches up with Usman. I will give this to Usman. As I studied any kind of way that I would like him, because I've won some money on him, I will say that if Usman is able to somehow press Woodley for 3.5 rounds, try and get him against the fence, use his size, he could try and wear Woodley out and maybe do something with him late. But let's say Woodley's been he's been the full 5-round championship rounds 3 different times, guys. So, you know, so I think Usman is going to get his PhD in MMA in this fight.
Yeah, Gabe, I got to ask you, Red Heat and Rage Radio.
I was going to ask you guys, too. You talked about Askren, Gabe, making his debut. He's minus 300 against Robbie Lawler. Like, if he doesn't win that fight, like, he's got a lot of pressure because he's come in here as kind of like, point. You know, golden. Right, Lou? So
he's
I got to believe
his
that.
Mouth, Cam.
He, that's the thing.
Red
it's
Askren
almost
has
like
talked a lot.
He has. And now you have that opportunity. Robbie Lawler's been there, done that before. Now a plus 250 dog. Lou, Askren better make a statement or else it's not going to be good for him because he's got to back it up.
He's going to win an ugly 3-round decision because he's just simply as singularly gifted as they can. The thing is, he's singularly gifted in wrestling. Lawler has had great takedown defense in his career, and he's able to get up. The issue becomes, he's coming off a knee injury where he had to overcome meniscus as well as ligament damage a year ago. And the way he fights and the fact that he was a pro starting in 2001, there's really decent wear and tear on that 36-year-old body. And I think that Askren's just going to be too much for him over the long haul. Lawler is on the downside of his career. I mean, could he do it? He could. He's going to have to keep it standing if he's going to do it. And to be quite honest, I'm tracking Askren opening minus 185, and now he's like minus 300. So there's no way I could take Ben Askren in his inaugural UFC fight, but I look for him to be pretty dominant.
Just too many wars for Robbie Lawler. The guy's a true warrior, legend.
He is.
You know, the guy started fighting. His first professional fight was in 2001, so we're talking about 18 years of chaos and mayhem. But, you know, those fights, the fight against Rory McDonald was one of the most insane bloodbaths in the history of the sport. Carlos Condit, another 25-minute fight, 25 minutes with Johnny Hendricks, 25 minutes with Matt Brown. Like, you go down the list, and, man, he's taken a lot of shots over the years, and his takedown defense isn't great, Lou, right? It's a good point by Cam. You know, and Ben Askren's another guy, Cam, that's very unlikable. Very, very unlikable. But they sort of did keep him out of the UFC for years because I think they were scared he would just take everyone down. Because that's his deal, dude. He just takes you down, and that's that. Like,
he mauls you.
Flashier, exciting about it. But he's pretty much impossible to stop, right, from taking you down. Kind of like Khabib?
I would take him against Khabib, number one. Number two,
you would.
He's highly
– You think he would
I
beat
would.
Khabib?
I would take wow. him against Khabib. Yes, I would.
That's
because
bold,
I'd also
Lou.
I'd be getting a prize. And I'll tell you one main reason why I would.
Well, he's a bigger dude, right? He is a bigger dude than Khabib.
He's also one of the smartest guys I've heard outside of the octagon, meaning a fighter when they're outside the octagon. I encourage everybody to look at that clip I posted. I'm telling you what, and later in that same clip at the 14-minute mark, they're showing him at the press conference for this fight a week or so ago. The kid is articulate, smart, composed, and undaunted. And I like everything about him. I think the UFC kept him out because they knew he was going to smother everybody he fought.
Yeah. Are you talking about me or Ben Askren? Articulate, well thought. Thanks, Luke.
The both of you. There's two goats.
Well played, Marenzi.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm articulate and well thought, but I'd still get my ass kicked in the octagon. But you know, Ben Askren does have, like, you know, world, like great, great, great wrestling. Missouri Tiger as Tyron Woodley. And And my boy Chandler, Michael Chandler as well. Yeah, so, but you know, this though, Ben Askren, would you say this is the toughest opponent? Ben, I would say so, right? Ben Askren's never really fought in the top guys. I mean, Douglas Lima, Jay Heron, Nick Thompson.
Of course it can.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah.
When he fought that Russian, that Russian was confident and big and strong, and I think he ruined that Russian, to want to be honest with you. Now, but that's a very fair question, and the people that like Robbie, first of all the values with Robbie, so it's bet Robbie or pass. But the people that are going to bet, that are going to take Robbie, are going to say that he hasn't fought anyone like that, especially with Lawler's sprawling skills. And that's reasonable. If the cat and mouse in the fight is going to be if Robbie can keep moving and keep swinging, and whether Ben can get a grasp of him or not. And I think as terrible as Askren's striking game and his strike defense is, he's going to eat a kick or a couple punches, get him in his grasp, and then it's going to turn Picasso. And when I say that, I love when I got the wrestler and he takes the thing to the mat and the fight gets boring, let those fans boo all they want while I'm trying to count my money.
I love Lou. That's right. Boo all you. That's right. Bottom line, get your bills paid, right, Lou?
Cody Garbrandt,
yes, sir,
another former champion.
Yeah.
Pardon the cheap jokes. I'll go to the next fight. Cody Garbrandt taking on Pedro Munhoz. Cody Garbrandt's like a -165 favorite.
Yeah, and so I've been doing jumping jacks over all these favorites, and now finally I'm going to give you guys an underdog because I think that you have to consider Garbrandt, who went into the Dillashaw fight. Everybody thought he was this just impressively fast, quick fighter, and Dillashaw exposed that, as well exposed him by completely devastating him two straight fights. So now you got a guy in Garbrandt that everybody's willing to say how much faster he is than Munhoz, and he may be. But Munhoz has also been in there with John Dodson. So if you take away a quickness angle, I like Munhoz's increased ability in his stand-up. He's surely got the ground game, and all Garbrandt wants to do is stand in the pocket and either counter or fire. I think these are two ships going in different directions, guys. And I'm taking Munhoz plus the 150 plus the 155. I think the Brazilian's going to use some leg kicks and soften Cody up and then touch him on the chin.
Interesting. Lou's walking the dog there. And we got a big dog here in Jeremy Stevens. And, you know, interesting to Garbrandt, as you stated, we'll see where he is. So you think Munhoz is this good? He's that good that he's going to be able to beat Garbrandt here, huh?
First of all, he's ranked number 8 against the number 2 guy, and the number 2 guy's coming out, you know, he's arguably in a fragile mental state. Now, of course, we're going to see how he responds from this, but I think Munhoz, with a fight here, moves into top 5. This is his whole career right here, this fight, and I think Cody Garbrandt is susceptible.
All right. Yeah, I'm having this one. I'm gonna sleep on that one, Lou. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, please.
We'll see if Garbrandt can bounce back. Wait, how about this one? And I don't know, like, if it's good or bad. But Jeremy Stevens was talking about how he was contemplating suicide after his last loss. So you get the vet in Stevens, who's seen it all, against, and I know you remember this guy, Cam, the heavily hyped Zabit. Remember this Zabit
yes,
guy?
I do.
who's very, very raw, though, Zabit. Yeah, unorthodox and raw. Stevens, the much sort of thicker man here, Lou, in this fight. What do you make of this one with Zabit being such a big favorite here?
Yeah, and Stevens being a guy never been submitted, so, you know, is Zabit going to be able to maneuver that with him? And I'll tell you something, Gabe. I had Stevens circled, polka-dotted, underlined, highlighted, until I saw that article about the suicide, and I'm running for the hills now. That is not what a fighter wants to admit. it scares the hell out of me. But I thought it was a good setup.
Well, confidence, Cam, to bet on a guy when he's like, oh yeah, I wanted to kill myself after the last fight I lost.
the last fight, because now he was so close to the title, and now he has to go down a few rungs and fight all these young lions coming up. That's a bad mind frame to go into against a guy that's going to have 4 inches of height on you, 4 years of age. He's going to have 2 inches of reach on the arms and 4 inches on the legs, and he's a wild, crazy, spinning, elbowing, grappling, well-gifted athlete. I'm scared to death of that since I heard the Stevens admission to that.
It is a step up in class for Zabit.
Oh, clearly, and not only that, look at his last fight against Kyle Bochniak. First of all, Jeremy Stevens would eat Kyle Bochniak for lunch, and Magomed Shapirov looked absolutely pedestrian against the best effort that Bochniak could give, and he
keeps his hands down, Lou.
He's unorthodox. Stevens, coming off of that. That loss to Aldo, you'd think that, mentally a fighter would really be on the bounce after a loss to Aldo like that. But doggone, that admission in the press to that just scares me, Gabe.
Yeah, but the thing is, and also I was going to say, like I said, Zabit, he doesn't have very good defense because he's used to just messing people up. And he's unorthodox. He's kind of skinny. And, he's a weird, lanky sort of fighter that's very – he's a strange fighter, but – it'll be interesting. Steven's going to go right at him, man. He's a pit bull. That's what he does. I think we could have a live dog there. I mean, I think Zabit's getting I think that he's being priced here because of the name and just sort of the hype. But, Stevens, listen, you don't like hearing that. I hope he's all right. But at the same point in time, Steven's just an intense guy. I think a lot of fighters probably contemplate suicide after losing, and they don't do it. They just say it.
It's like tough guys in hockey. It's tough. It's tough.
A lot of you're getting beat up, man. A lot of real estate guys, too, Lou.
Yeah. A lot of real estate guys contemplate suicide after they blow a good deal or two, and it happens to everybody. I mean, it's all about perseverance, and you're right. But, boy, that's just such a – I mean, for a fighter, these macho guys, you know what I'm saying? For them to have to admit that I'm going to a life coach and he's helping me with this, that, and the other thing, as a professional gambler on fights, I got to tell you, it scares me.
Yeah, that's why, too, though. On a more serious note, though, when the people talk about depression and mental health issues and stuff, and you're right, Lou. I mean, it gets in your head, right? I mean, if you're like, I was reading a story about a goalie in the NHL, and he's got depression and stuff, and he had issues, but he said, I wasn't going to tell the coach, and he said, I wouldn't trust a goalie who's got depression. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like it's that weird stigma. But I think it could motivate him. I just don't think Zabit should be this big of a favorite. All right, hang in there, Lou. Just squeeze out like 2-3 minutes with Lou on the other side here. Game Five Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. We've got a couple of minutes left here with Lou at gamblu.com. We apologize for any technical difficulties that we're experiencing on the program today. All right, Lou, so before we get you out of here, we talked about the early fights, favorites. John Jones, obviously, against Anthony Smith. We're both in agreement. Tyron Woodley gets it done against Usman. I love Robbie Lawler, but it's a tough spot for him here. Ben Askren's wrestling is going to be too much. He's going to take Robbie Lawler down, and he's going to win that fight. Lou likes Pedro Munhoz in a small upset against Cody Garbrandt. I think we have a live dog with Jeremy Stevens. Listen, I've thrown plus 200 bets away at worse things than Jeremy Stevens in this spot. So, you know, Stevens worth a look here, in my opinion, plus 200. Now we got Misha Serkinov and Johnny Walker. And Johnny Walker's a favorite here, minus 150. And that's right, Cam. Misha Serkinov's the guy that we did the promo with.
Yeah, use your face as a cheese grater, and he was pretty hard on you. What a fight.
What a fight. I put up a big fight. I was in a cage with Misha Serkinov, Lou.
Yeah, he's got evil intentions, too.
I know him, but, you know, he had fun sort of roughing me up a bit. You know what I mean? So
he did.
Well, he's going to sure wish did. He was in the cage with you on Saturday night, I can assure you that.
Yeah, you think Johnny Walker drowns him, part of the pun.
Boy, the guy is real. He's dangerous. He's explosive. He's Serkinov's size, and he's riding huge momentum. And Serkinov was preparing for OSP and now gets a guy more dangerous. Shit, this is a bad spot for old Misha.
Yeah. And Misha, I like Misha, but he's more...
He's a wrestler, groper. He's determined and straightforward, but he isn't quick and flashy. And this other kid is explosive.
He got lucky with a knockout, kind of. And then people thought, oh, Misha can knock people out and stuff. But it's not, as you stated, it's not his thing, really. All right, lose a lot of confidence in Johnny Walker. All right, Diego Sanchez and Mickey Gall. That's actually a fun matchup. Speaking of crazy old dudes. Remember, Lou, we were on Diego Sanchez, you and I, years ago, who was against Martin Held. Remember we were in that fight? I was like, I'm telling you, I know Held well coming over from Bellator. And man, even that
and way to pick,
was a long
that's
time
a perfect,
ago.
Yeah, it was, Gabe, but Sanchez beat Held, a submission guy. And Sanchez has been in with Jim Miller, a submission guy. They gave Sanchez the only fight he could win, and he might.
Wow, loose end looking at the dog with Diego.
Bold.
So you go over to gamblu.com. Gamblu.com. And follow Lou on Twitter at Gamblu to get more in-depth UFC. Thanks for the time, Lou.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, everyone.